My name is Blair Naughty. I am the founder and CEO of Fandom Sports Media.
That's Bill McGraw. I'm the president of Fandom Sports Media.
Thanks for calling in, guys. So Fandom Sports Media is something that's a relatively new opportunity to me. I was just introduced to it yesterday, but it's a compelling story. I have a background in the content game, and I've always kind of seen the sports arena as something that was sort of not properly served by mainstream media. Explain to me, if you could, what Fandom Sports is and how it differs from what's already out there.
Well, let me take that, Blair. What Fandom Sports is really a way for sports fans to be able to interact and give their opinion, interact with other fans, interact on sports content, really around giving them the opportunity to show their knowledge, to show that they know, to show what they're able to bring to that sports conversation. We see it taking place everywhere. We see it in comments. We see it all in every kind of blog. But what we don't see is a gamification of this. We don't see a central place where I can go in and I can see my other friends. I can see my social media. I can interact with contributors. I can interact with other sports celebrities. And I think what we bring is a unique way of aggregating that audience, gamifying it, giving people a voice, but also giving people a fun place to go and enjoy and figure out just where do they stand in the overall conversation that's going on about sports.
Gotcha. And I guess plugging that into mobile phones, you sort of get it right to the point where while the game's going on, I'm sure activity is at its highest.
Absolutely. So this is a mobile-centric app. We're fully integrated around both with text, video, social media. So we're giving that experience where you're able to consume sports content, you're able to contribute to it. So we'll have a way for you to upload videos, to upload your comments, to, again, interact, to, and then as you play the game side of it, you're able to move up to different levels, and that will open up things where you'll be able to be highlighted, you'll be able to move yourself into being a contributor and potentially become a fandom contributor star.
And does that bring a revenue element to it on the contributor side?
On the contributor side, initially the model is that we'll be bringing that revenue model for our, let's say, our high-end contributors. So
okay.
We're bringing in currently sports and, again, entertainment people, and there's a rev share going on with them in terms of bringing, as they drive engagement and as they drive an audience. And then we would see that same thing happening with the general user who was able to create an audience and create a name for themselves and a profile.
So we see a lot in the sports world, people who are so into it that they, they're on daily fantasy sports, they call in talk radio, they try and often, they can't necessarily be a part of the team, but they can contribute in terms of their knowledge of the team and establish within that community their chops. So what you're doing here is basically, taking that to the next level.
Essentially, yeah. And again, there's it's all going to be driven on that compulsion loop for the app and really high quality content that's giving you a different perspective. So you're not going to come to Fandom Sports to find out what the score was last night. You're going to come and find out what people were talking about. And you're going to find out about, what's those controversial plays. You're going to find out what people think about those plays and in the aggregate as well. So there's actually a way that what we feel is one of the compelling aspects of it is to be able to have some finality. So you've got a result. There's a timer on that. We're going to talk about this for the next 15 minutes, the next hour. So this thing's going to end. There's going to be a result. There's going to be, there's going to be a payout, and then we're going to move on to the next one. So it's that kind of there's a very gamified piece of it. So if you're, we look at it, there's two use cases. One, there's the user that's aspirational and that wants to engage and that wants to be involved and they want to build their chops and step out into the world and say, hey, look at me. The other side is, I want to go and consume that. I'm going to come in. I'm going to dip in for a while. I'm going to take a look at what's going on. I'm going to vote. And then I'm going to step back out again. So we find that a very high interaction is going to be, again, we're going to live or die on the interaction and the quality of the content and that gamification side.
So you mentioned quality of content. I think one of the big problems that many people find in dealing with online communities is the existence of the troll, the low quality content at the bottom of something that someone's put a lot of time into. But I'm guessing that this is sort of a self-policing outfit, the way it's set up, that respect gets you higher than being a douche.
That's right. I mean, there's a challenge there. There's no question. There's no silver bullet. We're going to have to moderate into a certain level, but we feel that the community will self-moderate in the Reddit model. So things that aren't voted on or aren't getting traction, they're going to fall to the bottom. And, you know, you'll be able to, you know, see that people coming in. Like, this is the problem with a lot of the trolling into Twitter, trolling into comments, where you don't have that off, you know, the community itself needs to be able to set that bar. And, you know, we're very cognizant of that. It's got to be a safe area. Like, we've got our VP marketing saying, I want to be able to hand this to my 10, 12-year-old cousin and be able to be confident that they're not going to get trolled and there's not going to be content on there that's going to be offensive to them.
Got it. Is there an element to the business plan that sees down the line a potential to farm it out as a comment section to legacy media to sort of take that problem away from them?
Well, you know, that's a great question because we go back and forth on that. Yes, the opportunity is there and we've had those discussions. The issue is going to be the brand building. So if it's fandom sports media associated with that brand and we can drive that, then yes, we won't be doing the white label side of it. So that's where I think what we need to do is really establish that brand initially. And so we would probably move away from that and want to drive people into our site and into our world. Once we've established that, then you could look at it and say, almost like that BuzzFeed model where you know, they're into, I don't know, 140, 150 different distribution channels. So if our content shows up in a lot of places, then they're big enough and they've got the brand that they don't need to worry about bringing people back in. We're not at that point. You know, we'd love to have that as a problem. We'd love to be that big and have our brand as that known in that way.
Got it. So one of the big issues with putting out an app or in fact building any sort of community website is you have to get a certain number of people into the game in order for it to be valuable to the end user. How do you approach that challenge?
Well, again, you know, this is not something that you just do one thing and that solves the problem. This is we've got a team in place. It's going to be around the content. We're starting with, and currently we're going to user testing where we've moved our offices from Vancouver down to Santa Monica. We've got content providers and editors there, and we're testing out a lot of the mix, the attitude, the interaction of the app itself. We're really targeting in on that demographic, that 18 to 30. We want to really get our brand ambassadors there. So, you know, we've done this before. We've got very strong board members that have been, for example, we've got Adrian Crook, who is one of the, you know, developers of the year. He used to be at Zynga. He's got that background and experience for the user side and the gamification side. We've got world-class designers. But at the end of the day, people are going to use that app in their own way and not in the way that you think they're going to. So we're going through a lot of testing. We're going through a lot of building this up from the ground up. And I think the other side of it is we see that there's this opportunity for doing online and offline. So the offline piece of it would be come to an event. You've got a contributor there. We're doing that kind of interaction or that kind of arguing or that kind of working through an issue, and you've got a celebrity on stage, you've earned your way, you're able to go in and engage that way. We see that building out onto social media, building out between communities, like physical communities, so you can think of the Vikings playing the Packers this weekend. We've got Green Bay and we've got Minnesota, and we're building that kind of rivalry between them and taking advantage of that. So at the end of the day, lots of tactics, lots of things that we can talk about, we think are going to work, but it comes down to execution. We got to get out there. We got to be in people's, where people are living and engaging, and we've got to be watching how they use the app, and we've got to be giving them more of what they want and what they like.
In order to get people to actually access the app, is there like a marketing budget or marketing plan that sort of Because it's very difficult to get an app noticed on the iTunes and the Google Play. There's a billion of them, and half of them are all fake. So what's the plan to get that app really sort of into the mainstream?
Well, again, it's there's a number of tactics that we're working on. There's a number of areas that a number of things that we need to do. And what we've really seen is, and this is what I think everyone is seeing on the stats over the last 3 to 6 months, is that you've got two categories, and one is highest grossing apps, which is the ones that are making money, and the ones that are getting the highest downloads. And they're essentially not the same apps. So the ones that you can drive all those downloads, but that's not necessarily driving engagement and driving revenue. So we've got to be cognizant of that. And again, I don't think there's any one thing we're doing. We're doing events. We're doing we're doing activations on at colleges and at universities, and we've got strategic relationships with some of the sports bars. We've got social media. We've got a number of things around that. And again, you've got to be watching it every day. You've got to be evaluating, and you've got to be really pushing on those buttons that are pulling those levers that are going to really drive it. And right now, we can say that we're going to do all these things, but we don't know exactly which one is going to get the highest focus.
Got it. So in terms of the market, the company's been around now for a little over a year, more than a year. How do you sort of perceive the market response to what you're doing? Are investors growing enthusiastic? Is there enough news to keep them busy? What do you think is going to outline the next few months?
We continually get people going, this is an awesome idea. We love it. No one has really done this. No one has really executed on this successfully. And we've got a lot of enthusiasm. And I think that's, at this point, it's more about the engagement and now this launch. So we're going through this process now of the testing and that. And again, I think it really comes down to as we go through this, people are very anxious and really looking forward to seeing us come to come to market and have this as a as something that's real.
I mean, I'll comment further on that, Chris. I think we went public probably a little bit early than normal people. Normally, people go through the whole venture capital route first and stay private and build it internally. But I wanted to put it out there into the public market, number one, because it's my background. Number two, so we could give all the investors a chance to participate in something before it goes public and they're paying a higher multiple at that point. And there's an exit strategy, too. They don't like the way it's going. They can exit any time, or you're stuck in a private investor. There are no exits. So
as things stand, it's only sitting on a $4 million market cap, which for a tech company that has a bit of history behind it and a working technology is pretty undervalued. What do you think needs to happen to really get people to say, I've got to own this stock today rather than I'll watch it for a little while, maybe it'll drop another half cent?
I think the main thing is, I mean, we've had a few delays as far as a launch. We were going to launch a soft launch, but then we wanted to tweak a few things. I think over the next sort of 4 to 6 weeks when, people can actually access it and play with it and be able to see it and we can demo it properly, mixed with, we're going to be adding a lot of celebrities, athletes, tastemakers, and, we're recruiting more board members in the industry that have a high reputation, that I think these things, news releases, et cetera, will start firming up our market. And we just got through the summer, which is traditionally a slow time as well.
I've often found that a lot of people who invest in the markets, at least at the small cap side, that there's a lot of correlations between sports fans and those investors. They get behind a story and they become zealots for it. They get out there on the message boards and they say, this is my pick. I'm smarter than you. But there hasn't traditionally been that many sports-related companies on the market. They tend to be the big legacy media stuff. But I was sort of involved a little bit with the guys that started Sports Blog Nation back in the day. And, that from just a little blog became a many, many multitudes of million-dollar value company very quickly. What do you see 6 months, 12 months down the line when this thing really starts to pick up as the potential end game?
Well, I mean, I guess the intention or the hope that we will have is that the market starts to see the traction as being something sustainable, and that we are going to be able to rise above that that broad swath of apps that sort of pop out and then disappear. Mm-hmm. So I think it's incumbent on us to get this model working and get it working in where we are focused right now, which is in Southern California, and then we're going to replicate that to different communities and in different regions. And so as we think that we can keep that momentum going and the interest going by continuing to move this and bring on new users and bring on new celebrities. So we'll also start to go into different sports as well. So, you know, the beauty of sports is that, of course, there's always a Super Bowl next year. There's always a preseason. There's always the playoffs. And that's where we're not trying to boil the ocean on day one. We're going to be very focused. We're going to go deep into certain sports and verticals, and then we're going to expand that out. So I think from the market side of it, we're going to see a growth. People are going to see the value and the interest and the excitement around what we're doing is going to just build over time.
Certainly, when something goes in sports, when something really sort of hits the nerve, if they blow up fairly quickly. I'm thinking, you know, about FanDuel and DraftKings, yeah, and whatnot, from nothing to you know, many hundreds of million dollar companies in no time at all, based around largely the gamification of fantasy sports to a monetizable level. So how quickly can you scale this if it really does take off? Do you have the ability for it to become for 100 million people to hit it in a couple of months and for everything to be okay?
Yeah, we've built this with the idea that this is going to be a significant aggregator of users. And we've got one of the announcements we're hoping to make in the next let's say 60, 90 days is we've been in very serious talks with some folks that are have had, you know, enormous success in this space. So I think one of the exciting things coming down is as we build out our team, we're going to be bringing on that global world-class scaling engagement team that has been there and been able to do that in a number of past projects. So I'm sort of skating around. I'd love to be able to just, you know, tell you, but
sure.
We have that in mind. We've had that in mind from day one. This is an experienced team that's been around for a while. We know where we need to go and what we need to have in place, and we're ready for that to happen. We're cautiously optimistic. We're being very lean about it right now, but we're ready to make this thing blow up in a very significant way.
So any potential investor who's sitting looking at your stock thinking maybe they'll get better value if they hold on for another month might just miss the train completely.
Well, Chris, I mean, I'm going to get into psychology. The Canadian investors, I mean, as you said, there's not many sports apps out there. I guess the Score Mobile would be the only one in Canada. So the way I always put it to the Canadian investors is, you know, we're in a very hot area. You know, if it was a mining district, you know, the sports area, you know. Mm-hmm. We have an experienced management team. We've done the IP. We've done the soil sampling. We've done all the preliminary work, and we're getting set to drill a very big target. And if we're successful hitting it, you know, the chances of us going to production and ramping up quickly are a lot faster than any mining story they've ever owned before. So,
for sure.
And so we'll be mining the sports fans, and obviously that's the tech arena. You know, you can ramp up a lot quicker. And due to the nature of the Canadian investor not being really tech-related, we have got a full listing on the OTCQB that just went live a month ago. So we are reaching out now more to the broader North American market. We plan to do a larger raise around the launch time in the next couple months. Our burn rate is probably around $40,000 a month.
Okay.
So it's not over. I mean, 20,000 US of that is, you know, the development team.
Sure.
And we got small things like rent and.
So I'm guessing that the thinking is, you know, you could probably raise a lot more than that, but why would you raise it at this price level when you're so undervalued?
Exactly. Yeah, we want to wait till we feel that the market cap reflects our value, and at this point, you know, the story's not told, the product is not there yet, and we think once those two merge together, you know, we'll be seeing a higher price.
For sure. And so looking down the line, I guess this is the sort of thing where if it doesn't take day one, it's not, well, we'll fold up the chairs and go home. Once the app is created, it's out there, it lives. It's just an ongoing process of building it and building it and building it audience-wise.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's, again, the beauty of it is we've got an opportunity to focus, get the feedback we need, grow, get this thing launched and grown. If we, we have the people in place that are going to, that understand what has to be done. If it goes a little bit slower or we have to pivot into some other sports, that's where we're fully prepared to do that.
Great.
And also, Chris, there's one thing I don't want to confuse this too much, but this was built as an argument engine platform for people to debate where there's actually an argument, there's a winner and a loser and payouts, et cetera. This can be switched to any vertical after sports as well. So we could just change the faceplate and get into politics. You know, people
mm-hmm.
talk about politics
business.
And gamify that. We
yeah.
can get into entertainment, you know, celebrity stuff. So sports is the first vertical that we chose to get into because it's, you know, has the biggest cult followings and passionate fans. And every day there's something to argue about. And it would be wonderful, you know, right now these athletes all have these Twitter wars going on where there's no ending to them and they fight on Twitter. So we want to bring them onto our platform and have them, you know, they can have their argument there and all the fans can vote who's right or wrong and they can, there can be a winner and a loser.
Nice, which is something, the thing that sports arguments usually lack.
They never end.
Yeah.
And they usually just end up into people calling each other names. If you go
right.
to any of those chat boards or anything else, they just go on and on and on. So what we want to provide, which doesn't exist in the virtual internet world, is ending arguments and having a winner and a loser.
That's clever. And so in terms of making those changes to other verticals, I mean, what sort of time frame and expense is required to be able to say there's an election on, bang, let's bang this out?
Well, I think we really want to get the sports vertical done, you know,
sure.
properly and have it up and running and get all the tweaks and figure out exactly how it's done. And then at that point, once that's up and running on its own, we'd look at, you know, expanding into other verticals at that time.
Got it. And I guess it also lends itself to international expansion as well.
Of course, yeah.
Excellent. Well, it's an interesting story. I mean, there are certainly enough people out there who are ultra passionate about winning an argument in the sports realm to fuel some fire. It'd be great if we'll talk again in 6 months and get an update on where things are at.
That'd be terrific.
Excellent. Well, thanks for your time, guys. This is Fandom Sports Media. The ticker symbol is FDM on the CSE and FDMSF in the US.